Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live from D.C. on 106.7 The Fan. We are also on NBC Sports Washington. You want to follow along on TV. Presented by EMP 102 Weight Loss, the standard for weight loss in the D.C. area because it works. Visit EMP180.com and get empowered. Getting closer and closer to our trip to spring training.
That's right.
We're going to be
back
in West Palm Beach covering the Nationals March 4th and 5th. Need to thank the Hilton West Palm Beach for hooking us up with the accommodations. They're fantastic. We were there last year. It's located just 2 miles from the beach, 3 miles from Palm Beach International Airport. It's a AAA, four diamond Hilton West Palm Beach. It's in the ideal location. And you know what? If you walk around in the lobby like a zombie, they'll take care of you.
Yes, they will. They won't just look at you and say, oh, it's just a Walking Dead extra roaming around the lobby.
Right.
We're actually going to call the ambulance and get this taken care of.
Right. They weren't filming the latest episode of Walking Dead there. But it did look like it.
I did feel bad for Eric when we saw the ambulance come in. We're like, that can't be for Eric Bickle, could it? Sure enough, that's why the ambulance was there.
Hey, man.
Hopefully not a repeat of that in 2019.
Yeah,
I missed all the action, and then it was kind of a scramble to get in our cars to go to the airport. And I was like, where's EB? And Cakes was like, you missed it?
Yeah.
I was like, what happened?
He's not getting on the plane. Did you see the scene in World War Z when the zombies overtake the 747?
Hey, man.
That's what would happen.
I was legit sick. Paramedics arrived.
We know.
Anyway, we're going to be right back there. It's the Hilton West Palm Beach. Awesome spot. So looking forward to that. All right, joining us right now is our buddy Tony Massenburg, former Terp great, Wizards analyst for NBC Sports Washington. And he's got a book out with Walt Williams, Lessons from Lenny. What's going on, Tony?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
We're doing all right. Some action there last night with the Wizards. Before we get into that, though, talk about your book.
The book is celebrating 100 years of Maryland basketball, and Walt Williams and I talk about the positive influence that Len Bias had on us both. And I played 1 year with Len Bias and was there when he died in 1986, and Walt came in 2 years later. But he was our favorite player, and we often talked about him when Walt was in college. And what we talk about basically is the last 30 years of Maryland basketball, which Walt and I were a part of as student athletes. But we also, what a lot of people don't know is that we also came back as alumni. We really helped tutor the guys at the University of Maryland for the years that we played in the NBA. Once we graduated, we were able to come back and help the team win a championship in 2002. And when we talk about the lessons from Lenny, we talk about the things we learned, not just as basketball players at the University of Maryland, but things that we learned in life. And we applied that to how we live and our ideologies and the things that shape us as young men. So the things that went on at the University of Maryland really helped shape our careers as fathers, at careers as players and fathers, and just our philosophy in life in general. So we'd like to talk about that positive influence that came from Len Bias and the aftermath of his death.
Yeah, I like it. Different take.
He was so fun to watch, and we talked about Lenny so many times, and it's one of those days that you'll never forget when he passed away. And like, I'll never forget where I was. I was at a basketball camp in Tacoma Park, Maryland, and I couldn't believe it. I was 16 years old. Just one of those days you'll never forget. You always remember where you were when you heard Lenny die.
Where were you, Tony?
Well, I was actually there. So, I talk a little bit about that. I was actually in the emergency room when his mom came out and told us that he had passed. So,
devastating.
We get into that. Yeah, we get into that a little bit. But we really focus more on the aftermath and the recovery process, and that's a little bit of what the football team is experiencing right now with the loss of Jordan McNair. And so we talk a little bit about what it's like being a student athlete and having to deal with those circumstances while at the same time being expected to graduate and the pressures that come with it. So very interesting read. Hope you guys go out and enjoy it. It's available from lessonsfromlenny.com as well as anywhere the books are sold. So
very cool. Lessons from Lenny. All right, so let's talk about this Wizards team. You know, before we even kind of get into the trades, 22-32, a lot of defensive issues. What have you seen this year that's been different from the past, or has it been kind of building to this? I mean, they gave up 50 points in the first quarter last night.
Yeah, you know, I don't think the first quarter is really a clear indication or just what the whole season has been about. I think when they lost John Wall, I thought the team went on a pretty spirited run, and they came out and they played with a sense of urgency, because when you lose an all-star player, your margin of error is significantly decreased, and therefore everybody has to play the game the right way, and you have to do all the little things, setting hard screens, making hard cuts to the basket, and defending at a high level. And I thought the team did that in John Wall's absence initially, and Otto Porter comes off the bench, and you're forced to call up guys from the G League, guys like Jason Randall, and Thomas Bryant was already there. You saw Jordan McRae step up the last couple of games and have an impact. So this is the position they find themselves in, and it has been leading up to this, because you weren't getting max production out of Otto Porter in that small forward position. And so once went down, then you had to make some adjustments.
So, Tony, if you were running this team, would you try and just kind of push the reset button, knowing that John's going to be out all of next year?
And never the same.
He will never be the same because of the injury. For a guy who kind of relies on cutting, explosion, and speed. And that would you try and reset this whole process and try and trade Bradley, or do you want to keep Bradley and build around him?
Well, resetting the process is something that Ernie Grunfeld and his brass are going to have to decide if that's, you know, totally what they're doing. And if that means trading Bradley Beal, it's not a trade that I would like to make. And you look at the Otto Porter trade, you know, I don't think it's one they actually wanted to do as much as they felt forced from a luxury tax standpoint. And you certainly can't be your max player coming off the bench. So you look at that, and Otto shot the ball a little bit better coming off the bench, but ultimately you weren't getting max production for a max contract. And so you make a trade and you get two players that that average, you know, about 14 points a game. And then, you know, one of those guys has an opportunity to be re-signed, if not both. But when you separate from Otto, it frees you up financially to do some other things. So I really think the move was really motivated by that, also combined with the fact that you need help now, because you're not going to see John Wall for an additional year, in addition to the injury that would have kept him out for the season. Now you've got an even bigger injury that you have to deal with.
Tony, I'm not sure of this. I know you played for a ton of teams in the NBA, Spurs, tons of teams. How often were you traded? I know you had to have been traded at least once. And what was it like when you actually got traded? Like, how did it go down?
I think I was traded twice. Initially, the last trade, a couple of trades I do remember. I actually remember being traded from the Toronto Raptors to the Philadelphia 76ers. And I also was traded from the Vancouver Grizzlies to the Houston Rockets. And both times, again, I was aware there were rumors, but, you know, nobody actually called you in the office and said, we're looking to trade you. So when that happens, especially to a player early in his career, it can be a distraction, because it's not something that most NBA guys are accustomed to that first time. You know, it feels a little bit like rejection, and at the same time, a little bit of uncertainty, because you're going to a new situation and you don't always know what's expected of you, and you have to show up and do your job and, you know, adjust to your teammates in a new city and a new system. That's just part of being a professional. It's not an easy part, but it is part of the profession.
How can you allow 148 points in a regulation game?
When you make a big trade, as a guy is warming up on the basketball court and you're already missing an all-star, and you know, you're having to rely on your G League affiliate to call up guys and have as many as, you know, two, three guys on the floor from the G League at the same time. You know, that trade went down yesterday, and again, you know, it can be a distraction for the players. And so the way things unfolded, I think it was just a lack of manpower. Just, you know, they wouldn't have had enough to get it done last night. They would have struggled with Giannis Antetokounmpo as they did the game before. So even with the full roster, you know, you're going to struggle against the Milwaukee Bucks. And when you deplete the roster or at least make a trade in the middle of a game, that sometimes can affect how guys go out and play that night. We saw it all over the league. It wasn't just the Wizards. Teams that were swirling in trade rumors, a lot of those teams' players did not respond well.
Yeah.
All right, so what's next? If you're the Wizards, if you're your best guess, and you're Ernie, and God only knows what he'll come up with, you know, who's next? I got to imagine there's still going to be a couple more moves.
I can't really say who's next because you don't know.
What would you do if it was you?
Well, I wouldn't trade Bradley Beal. I think that's a piece that you start to build around, and I think you start looking at how you can effectively improve the team given the restrictions that you have from a salary cap standpoint, from a draft pick standpoint. I think you basically have to do what Terry Leonsis pays you to do, and that's figure out what's the best situation for the Washington Wizards as currently constructed.
Do you move Ariza? Those guys.
I think you entertain offers to move pretty much anybody. I think you entertain offers, but again, depending on what you're being offered, determines whether or not you make moves. I don't think you just give guys away. Mm-hmm. I think the Wizards have said they're not tanking still, but they also said that they weren't going to trade Otto Porter or Bradley Beal. So,
Do you think they can thread that needle? Do you think they can tread water and kind of fight for that eighth seed and still try to get better eventually, or do you feel like you have to bottom out?
Quite honestly, I don't know how they're going to make the playoffs with the roster as currently constructed, and we're going into the second half of the season where teams genuinely step it up in the All-Star after the All-Star game and jockeying for playoff position, and the Wizards are clearly hobbled and needing to make some more moves. But again, I don't know what will come down the pike, by this afternoon. So that would determine what my moves would be. Your moves are going to be whatever the best option is available to you. And that's probably going to take a little bit more time to play out.
Mm-hmm. Of course, you can watch Tony Massenburg on NBC Sports Washington, Wizards analyst, and also get his book, Lessons from Lenny. Thanks, Tony.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you.
Yep.
I will say
this. Thank you, buddy.
I agree with a lot of, basketball fans that say the NBA regular season is boring. But I'll say that this year, for me anyway, it's more interesting in the Eastern Conference because this is the first year in a long time that you've got four legit contenders in the East with all these, especially with the trade that Philly made. Because the last 10, 12, 15 years, whatever it's been LeBron in Cleveland and Miami. You had no shot of beating them. But now you've got four teams, Milwaukee, Toronto, Boston, and Philly, who have a legit shot at winning the East.
The Wizards playoff
talk. I think that race is going to be interesting.
The talk about them possibly getting into the eight spot, it's starting to tilt me.
They'd have to go about 18 and 10.
Why
would you believe that a team that is 22 and 32 is going to go 18 and 10 down the stretch? Would be to finish with 40 wins, not even a winning record.
It's not happening.
They're not qualifying for the playoffs.
Correct.
It's preposterous to even bring up playoffs for this team.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
It's outrageous.
And then they're going to have like the 10th pick or 11th pick, and that's purgatory pick.
Right. Hey, every once in a while, Cakes does the lottery generator. They get number one.
Sometimes they sneak into the two spot or the one spot, but usually it's between 7 and 10.
Right. Like Marco said, good luck.
You want to run it right now? Uh-huh. I just ran the sim, got the number one pick.
Right.
I'll do it again.
You know what that is? That's just to keep you interested. They know
they
that you're a Wizards fan.
They just got the 8th pick. Running it again.
Stupid.
See, they just got the 8th pick.
See?
I mean, we're doomed to the 8th or 9th pick.
Cakes has always loved that lottery
generator. Doing it again.
It is fun to do.
It's
a gamble. It's anything with a sweat. 8th
pick.
It's a sweat.
I have to run it again.
We got the 8th pick, by the way, 3 times.
8th pick. Again.
4 times. Four times out of 5, we've gotten the 8th pick.
Where does it land? 8th pick.
5 times.
One more time. Eighth pick.
That's because,
because that's where the percentages are.
Lucky eight.
Well, no, it's because someone has to jump into the top three to move you.
4 or 5% of the time, you'll get that one or two.
Ran it again. Seventh pick. Running it one more time. I love running it again. Running it twice. Eighth pick.
All right. Yeah.
Starting, the eighth pick.
I'm starting to get tired of the generator.
Yes. One last time. Third pick.
He loves saying
Cam
one last
Reddish.
Time.
Here we go.
So two times out of nine, we got in the top three.
Correct. Yeah, I mean, let's make it an even 10. Eighth pick. Yeah. All right, I'm done. Yeah. Done. Yeah. But again, no playoff talk. Playoff talk for the Wizards equals
And if people
stupid.
Want to play that at home, because Jason won't let you do that again.
The website is tankathon.com.
It's a great
site. I love it.
All right, coming up at 8:40, Tyler Kepner is going to join us. He writes for the New York Times baseball writer. We will talk about Bryce Harper and where he might end up. Right now, though, we'll come back, take your calls. Your chance to steer the show on an open line Thursday, 800-636-1067.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, we're going to get into the latest on the Bryce Harper and Manny Machado situation coming up at 8:40 with Tyler Kepner, covers baseball for the New York Times. Apparently other teams jumping into the Bryce Harper fray.
Mm-hmm.
So we will talk about that coming up at 8:40. Spent a lot of time talking about the Wizards throughout the show and the NBA trade deadline. So let's switch it up before we talk to Tyler Kepner from the New York Times. Open up the entertainment page. Find out what's going on in Hollywood.
All right,
get
boys.
Get some celebrity scoop.
Been a while since we've had a Jeff Bezos update.
Yes, it has been quite a while.
And apparently, Bezos, or Bezos, as you guys like to pronounce it, he and his girlfriend, Lauren Sanchez, the girl that's been engaged or married to 100 different celebrities before,
yes.
He could do so much better. It's going to cost him, you know, $500 million or more. What? It's going to cost him like $5 billion, right? Because isn't he worth like 10? How much is he worth?
He's worth way more,
way
than,
more than 10.
How much is
he's
worth?
He's like the richest guy on the planet.
Yeah, yeah. What's the richest
like
guy?
He's like worth over $100 billion.
Okay,
I
so it's going to cost him $50
billion. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Or more.
Girl. He could do so much better. It's ridiculous.
So much better.
Apparently, they haven't been seen together, this is as of 2 days ago, in 28 days.
Ooh.
So
was he at the Super Bowl?
He was at the Super Bowl, yes.
Yes.
In Kraft's box?
Or maybe Goodell's box?
Not sure whose
Goodell's.
Box, but I definitely saw him. Yeah, I definitely saw his bald head, and I was like, yeah. I think that's Jeff Bezos.
Now, apparently, the reason why they're being kept apart, they're still in love with each other, and they talk to each other every day, but Bezos is so bitter that he's hired this whole investigative firm, and he's trying to figure out who leaked the texts. Who leaked all the images and all that?
Did he hire Bruce Allen and company, who got to the bottom of the Reuben Foster investigation, to do some digging?
They're pretty good investigators, aren't they, kids?
Yeah.
But apparently, he was so upset about all that, he hired his own investigators, and his head of security, Gavin DeBecker, is leading it. And I guess, as part of that investigation, they're keeping these two apart until they get to the bottom of it.
Mm-hmm.
So does that mean if he doesn't like what he finds out, that ultimately he's going to donk her off?
Could be.
Probably.
Because let's be honest, she leaked it. She leaked it to somebody.
Most likely she's the source.
It's not like somebody hacked her phone or anything.
Yeah, but she can smooth talk him into, you know, letting it slide.
Or do some other things?
Yeah.
Right.
Because obviously she's just, you know, magical when it comes to that. I think.
Must be.
You're right.
She must be one of the world's greatest.
Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe if you look at her Rolodex.
Yeah.
Her dating history. Although, who was it that...
she's attractive, right?
She is attractive, but she's at that hit-the-wall age. She's at that hit-the-wall age.
She's not like she's not worried.
Okay, but he's 55 or so.
Oh, he could get a 20-year-old
younger.
Yeah,
yeah, but she's not,
Bob
she's not worth 40...
On his arm?
She's not worth $40 billion.
Yeah, she's worth nothing. She's a nothing.
Isn't Belichick's girlfriend pretty hot?
I think she's...
Or is she older?
Right. She's all hot for him.
Is she younger?
Yeah,
I thought she was pretty
young.
Yeah,
like
what do you
50.
Think?
Oh, I thought she was much younger than that.
No, I think it's Kraft. I think Kraft now, since his old lady passed, I think he's been hitting skins with the young
lots.
Oh yeah,
he's taking that. Overs. He's taking that V.
Oh yeah, definitely. Oh, might be doing that.
Of course, might definitely taking it.
Am I still work?
Old is Kraft.
Old people. It doesn't
Kraft's
work.
Like 75 or 80.
Michael Bolton is in the news. Cakes. This Cakes will appreciate this because he's an ageist.
Again, I'm a realist.
I don't know how old Michael Bolton is, but he must be getting up there because he was doing a live interview in Australia on Tuesday on a morning show there where in the middle of the interview, he fell asleep. He fell asleep, Cakes.
Looking forward to talking to the great man. Michael Bolton joins us now live from Florida. Good morning and welcome back to the show.
Michael,
you got us okay?
Hello. Hello, Mike.
And he was doing like
satellite thing.
Hi, Michael.
Okay.
It's Kylie Larry. We're live.
It's gone silent.
Michael, can you hear us after such a great intro? Please tell us you can hear. We didn't want to waste that intro. Michael Bolton, live in Florida. Can you hear us?
We might have
awkward.
To.
How is that possible?
Quite so awkward. Quite a get for those
Aussies. He obviously must not have an earpiece. Because that
he's
would wake him.
He's sitting on the chair for 10 minutes. And
then it looks like, you can't tell, but the color in the photo, it must be like morning in Australia.
Yeah.
And it's very late
maybe,
in the States.
Yeah, maybe his body clock is all messed up.
I mean,
dark
Joan,
in the background.
Hasn't it happened on this show
He pulled
before?
A Francesca. Yeah. These things happen.
Hasn't this
When's
happened?
The last time that happened?
Has it happened to one of the hosts on this show?
To me?
When? When was that?
Oh, probably 15 years ago. 10 years ago,
I don't know if he
but
actually
it's very
fell asleep.
I don't think
now
I actually
as we get
fell
a little
asleep.
Bit older, I can see it happening with some more regularity.
Must have been during a college football interview.
I think it was tired. I think I took a micro nap. That's definitely happened before. All right. Apparently, a bunch of people want an investigation to see if James Brown, the Godfather of Soul, was actually murdered.
Who are the bunch of people that want this investigation?
13 people. Say they suspect James Brown did not die of natural causes. There's a three-part investigation by CNN that was published Tuesday. More than a dozen people who knew the singer say they want a criminal investigation into his death or like the singer's body to be what? Exhumed, AWOD, for an autopsy.
Hey, maybe he died because he was so upset at our subpar introduction of him at one of the Nutcrackers when we were at HFS.
In fact,
maybe that's Cakes, what happened.
Dr. Michael Crawford, who treated Brown at an Atlanta hospital now prior to his death and who signed his death certificate, he now says he too doubts that Brown died of natural causes. Instead, he thinks it was either an overdose, accidental, or something else. He says his condition changed too fast. He died at the age of 73. And his death was listed as congestive heart failure resulting from complications of pneumonia.
I just loved AWOD's definition of exhumed when he's using the
dust sprays out of a vacuum.
Said you exhumed the dust right out of the vacuum.
Right.
Do you think his dumb brain heard exhume and that's why vacuum came
and
into
exhaust?
I can't
maybe?
Explain I it.
Yeah. Exhaust?
How did that?
I can't explain the inner workings of that felted brain.
I like to take context clues within the word itself, and so I kind of figure vacuum.
Do you know yesterday?
Gotta know what he got on his SATs.
Tom Daly used the word tertiary with him. He didn't know that one either.
What you know now what tertiary means?
No, nobody explained it to me.
Well, you like roots, right? So tertiary. If I said numbers.
I would think like territory.
Oh my God!
Because it sounds like territory.
That's how
it works. I'm being honest.
Think numbers.
Like for someone that's not that allegedly
think
is like a normal human, he's the dumbest guy I've ever met.
Do you know all when in the middle of conversation?
And he doesn't have any disabilities or anything like. He's just a dumb
person. He might.
You can't blame him. Blame
AWOD.
His parents.
If I go
must be
stupid.
Genetic.
AWOD, if I go in reverse, I want you to.
Get so
I want
bitter.
You to finish. I want you to finish this.
Blame Maury.
I don't even know what it is. If I say tertiary, secondary, what comes next?
Thirdiary. What do you mean?
Thirdiary.
No. Thirdiary.
I don't even know if this is like a word problem. Tertiary, secondary.
Fill in the blank.
Fill in the blank.
Primary.
Okay. Somehow you're going through that.
Did someone tell you? Did someone tell you?
Yeah, somehow, somebody in your ear.
Somehow he popped used it, into it.
He's used his brain. But, you know, I'll be in the middle of a conversation with people, yeah. and they'll use words, and I go, man, I wonder if Awad knows that word.
Can you start jotting them down?
I'm doing a mental note.
I thought we were going to do like a family feud or something with your family.
I don't think you guys want that heat. My mom's a silly lawyer, and she's got a graduate degree from Maryland.
Right. Isn't the problem that we can't get your mom and your dad in the same room together?
Does she have a graduate degree and a law degree, or does she just have a law degree?
Both, from Maryland.
Right.
Are you still upset at her boyfriend? Are you still not, like, you don't have any communication with the boyfriend, or I don't know if she's remarried?
His name was Steve.
Yeah.
And he moved back to Texas, and I've been dancing around ever since then.
Yeah, you threw a party when Steve left?
Do you know what your mom has a grad? Let's just test him. Your mom has a law degree from Maryland. What's her graduate degree in?
By the way, what are the initials?
Criminal justice.
Is that her undergraduate degree?
That's her undergraduate degree. Yeah. It's not her graduate degree. She probably, like most people, got her undergrad degree and then went to law school. So she doesn't have both.
What are the letters for, you know, like if you have a business degree, it's an MBA. What are the letters for a law degree?
Ooh, I don't
He's
know
not
that
gonna
one.
Know that.
Yeah. L something.
I don't know that.
You know, JD.
How would you know that?
If it's your mom, you might know.
You might know.
I'll let you off the hook on that one.
Thank you.
You should know that.
Didn't we have an idea that we were gonna do like a family feud or something? Like with his family?
We're gonna play
remember
a
that
feud?
Years ago?
We were gonna have his stepdad in here, but they broke up.
Yeah.
They broke up in the middle of the bit?
Steven is my name.
Well, they broke up in the wintertime here.
Which never made it happen.
December.
And we just never made it happen.
Yeah.
So, in other words, his parents have split up since he's been working with us? They were together when he started?
No.
No, not his parents.
Not the parents,
his mom
and...
had a new relationship, had a boyfriend.
Yeah, with Steve.
She broke up with the boyfriend.
Whatever. Yeah, didn't work out.
Now I'm bored. Hearing about my parents' love life.
I'm sorry. All right, there are going to be cakes. You ready for this? You're big in emojis, I know.
Oh.
230 new emojis, including a waffle.
It's a waffle.
Well, if you're telling somebody you're going to the Waffle House.
I guess.
A yawning face. We could use that for AWOD. A sloth.
Okay. Also for AWOD.
Seeing eye dogs. Some people in wheelchairs. I don't know.
These are all brand newbies?
What's up with it?
Yes.
This is not going to be politically correct.
Yeah.
New foods. You're seeing a lot more of these, like, emotional dog support. You know what I'm talking
support
about?
Support dogs. Sure.
Support dogs. Yesterday, I'm at the
Service
gym.
Service dogs.
I'm at the gym, and there's a freaking dog in there. And I was like, is this lady blind?
Here's
not
the word.
Not blind at all.
It's just
a, it goes back to what Jason said.
I didn't ask her.
Millennials.
I didn't ask her.
She's like a comfort animal or something?
Yeah. She's doing, like, flies.
She could be in emotional distress.
Yeah, you don't know.
You don't know what's going on in people's lives.
Right. I just saw this.
Maybe her parents just committed suicide or something.
Okay, the dog's just.
I don't understand. It was odd.
Well, there's 100 people in there, and then there's a dog watching her do flies.
Yeah,
Eric.
But you know what? If you knew why she had the dog, you might feel stupid or bad.
We might. You probably feel bad for her.
If she just lost her husband.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's also a millennial thing.
It's just weird to me.
How old was she?
She was probably 45.
Not a millennial thing.
Okay, she's a little bit older. She's a little bit out of that demo, but it's an unregulated thing where people are just slap a vest on a dog and bring it on the airplane. And I mean, they just bought the patch like on the internet and slapped it on the stupid vest. And it's just because they don't want to stow the dog like in the car.
Is there a size or weight restriction for a service dog? I mean, can you bring a freaking Saint Bernard on a plane?
Yes. I don't know.
Yes, you can.
You can?
They're not service dogs. You're getting a service dog and a support dog confused.
Oh, okay.
You can go, like, it's a license, and it's a fraud now because 90% of the people are just going there so they can take their dog into Safeway.
Maybe I'll do that. I like to bring Luca everywhere I go.
Ultimately, I didn't do anything about it. I'm not going to do anything about it. But if the lady was blind, I'd be like, okay, makes perfect sense. But that's what they're banking on. Like, what is going on here?
Unless you're a real monster, you're not going to go up to somebody and say, you don't need this dog for your emotional well-being and support.
Nobody's going to do that. The dog was just watching, like, these cables go back and forth. I'm like, what is going on here?
Well, it's better. You know what? For the dog, it's better than sitting on a bed staring at the wall. At least the dog gets out and sees some people.
Right.
I would love to bring Luca on an airplane.
You won't do it when we go to West Hall.
Dog's a nightmare.
She's awesome.
You need a support dog, too, because you're such a fragile nightmare on a plane.
Oh, I hate flying.
Don't you?
That would probably make it more comfortable for me.
Can
someone give me the vest that says service, and then I'll bring her to.
Of course, somebody would do that.
Like Florida.
So you're going to impersonate a real service dog.
If I can someone tell me how to do that?
You already don't have enough room on the airplane. Now you're going to bring your big, giant dog on the plane.
Yeah, but maybe they'll give me the whole row.
If you have a service dog, that is implying that you were in the service.
Yeah, that you need some help.
Right, so that's in. So then now
you go.
I mean, then you could
need to
be like
a psychiatrist.
Then you
is what
consider
you need
like
do.
Scum.
Well,
basically.
I think I know. I need to do that anyway.
You need to go to a psychiatrist and get a script.
But I just want to bring my dog on a plane.
When they say when you're at the airport and they say military can board the plane first or whatever, do they check your ID?
I have to believe they do.
Or can you just say
you're scum of the earth if you're faking military?
Are you getting mixed up with a service dog? Like a service dog is.
I'm talking about a separate thing. I'm just transitioning into a separate thing.
Okay.
Well, he was talking about a service dog. He was talking about a service vest or whatever.
Well, that would be a support dog.
Yeah, it's
there's
thing.
A difference. No, there's a difference. A service
just
dog
mixing
is
mixing up the terms.
Whatever. You know what I'm talking about.
All right.
Obviously, I wasn't in the service, so I'm talking about the support dog.
Right.
He's talking about if he has depression and gets a dog. That he can go onto a plane because he has depression and he's bringing dog.
I already
checked that box.
Yeah. All right, we were going to get into
just hook me, American Airlines. Hook me,
Bryce Harper, still unsigned. The Nationals, I believe, start spring training in a week. We don't know what's going to happen with Bryce Harper. Tyler Kepner writes for the New York Times, national baseball writer.
New
he'll join us
the
next,
right?
To fill us in.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Remember, you can join me, that's Cakes, and Greater Fort Lauderdale for our Rock the Red pregame party at Clyde's Gallery Place this Saturday starting at 5 p.m. Hang out and enter for a chance to win a trip to Fort Lauderdale to see your team take on Florida. Details at thefandc.com/events. Hope to see you at Clyde's this Saturday, late afternoon, early evening. Hey, do have some concrete Bryce Harper news. Apparently, he was taking BP and he's clean shaven.
Oh, really?
Where
was
he? His Instagram story.
Somewhere in Vegas, probably.
I don't know if I like clean shaven Bryce. I like bearded Bryce.
He'll probably go back to the beard at some point in the season.
Probably will.
Oh, 100%.
I like bearded, big-haired Bryce. Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to talk a little baseball now, find out what's going on. You know, pitchers and catchers report, next week? Tyler Kepner, national baseball writer for the New York Times, joins us. And Tyler, I got to believe that you figured that Manny Machado and Bryce Harper would be signed by now, right?
Yeah, you would think so. I mean, I guess this is a new normal in the baseball off season, so we just got to wait and wait and wait. A couple guys got signed early. The Nats did a lot of good early moves, I thought. But, you know, not a whole lot of other teams were willing to jump out early.
All right, so what's going on with Bryce? Is he just waiting for Manny to sign, and he's going to sign like 4 minutes after Manny signs? Or I mean, what is going on here, and who do you think the legit players are? We've heard so many different teams.
Yeah, you know, I really do. I've always thought that he wanted to sign last, you know, so he could have the top dollar, and that's how it tends to be with premier Scott Boras clients. You know, they want to get the top dollar, and they're willing to wait for it. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. But Manny's taking his time, too. So as far as who's in it, I don't know. I mean, the Giants, that report yesterday, it does make some sense. They have nobody in the outfield at all. You know, they're not in a good spot, really, as an organization, but they could easily sell them on the new Barry Bonds, you know, 26 years old. They brought in Bonds when he was in his 20s, and you know, we all know how well that worked out for the Giants. So when you're entering into a long-term commitment like this would be, I don't think it's so much about where the organization is now. It's about the totality of the deal. So I could see that. But, you know, he's so good that you can make a case for just about any team. So I don't. It's really hard to pin down one when you know the industry is flush with cash. And for most of these owners, it's just a decision. It's not like something they can or can't do.
Do you think that if you had to put money on it right now, who's your top team for Bryce?
I wouldn't, but
I wouldn't either.
You know, right? I mean, I still think there's a chance just based on the history of the Nationals working out deals with Boris and figuring out a way to, you know, to move the money around to make it work. I guess I'd put the Nationals first, but I'd take the field over any one team because no one's really emerged as a front runner in this whole thing.
Do you think how would the Nats even want him? There's some debate even here as to whether or not they even want him at this point. I mean, sure, they'd love to have him, all things being equal, but with the amount of money that they're going to have to spend on Rendon and other guys, this money they've already spent, and then having to move maybe Eaton or somebody, do they even want to deal with all that?
Yeah, you're right. I'm not sure it makes a ton of sense, really, because of Juan Soto, ironically, another Boris client. You know, Juan Soto comes up last year, and he's fantastic, and he's cheap and young and all that. And so they kind of have their replacement in-house. They spend all that money on Corbin, and as we said, they made the other moves for the catchers and the relievers and everything. So they're not in a position to be desperate, and usually that's what moves the needle on a deal like this. And you'd think, like, Philadelphia would be desperate because they haven't won in a while, and they got the owner itching to spend the money and all that. But we haven't seen that one team make that real impulse, emotional decision. And the Nats are in a good spot because I think they're a really good team without him. Obviously, they've had a lot of success with him, but they've never gotten over that hurdle. So maybe with a different mix, it'll work, and you can save some money to sign Rendon, perhaps. So, no, I agree with you. There may not be a real need for him, but if he falls in their lap, given their history with Boris, you know, I wouldn't discount it.
So did he say who the real players are? Who are we down to?
He doesn't know. He thinks the Nats still
have a chance. But that's it. But who else?
The
who are
Giants?
The mystery teams?
The Phillies?
You know, San Philadelphia Diego. Could be in it. Right. I mean, you know, you hear all the teams. San Diego. I mean, the Giants make sense. That's the thing. I mean, I think any kind of team, any team can make sense on this thing because he's going to be better than some outfielder on every team. So, you know, I mean, I always thought at the beginning, Texas, I mean, opening a new stadium. I mean, you know, you got to think creatively with this, and you know Boris is the most creative agent out there. You know, could he engage the Cardinals or somebody? I mean, again, with a player this good, I know he's coming off somewhat of a down year, certainly a down first half. He'd improve anybody. So I would always take the field. But the Giants report is interesting because you can definitely see that. They have the need. They have the history. They're on the West Coast. You know, and they have a lot of things that could appeal to them.
Here's the one thing when I look at the Nats lineup, and I think you know what you're going to get from Rendon. Dozier's probably going to give you, you know, 30 bombs, maybe more. Zim, if he stays healthy, you kind of know what you're going to get. Turner, you know what you're going to get. In the outfield, I know everyone's high on Soto, Tyler. I get it, and I know why. And I hate to use that phrase, sophomore slump. I think it's cheesy. But if he struggles in his second year, Robles is a rookie. You don't know what you're going to get from him. Eaton, you know, you got no power there. If Soto struggles, which is a real possibility, then you got really no power in the lineup and from the outfield positions. And then I just think that's a risk right there. So it would make sense for me if Bryce was still, you know, if it was still a possibility to acquire him and sign him, at least you know you're going to get a power bat in the outfield because you really don't know what you're going to get from Soto, Robles, and Eaton.
Right, but if you're looking at him as an insurance policy in that scenario, there's a lot cheaper insurance policies you can go to for outfielders, right? I mean, you could pivot to a Carlos Gonzalez or Adam Jones doesn't have a ton of power, but I mean there are a lot cheaper outfielders out there if you're just worrying about protecting Soto and I think they believe Soto's the real deal. I mean, I don't think they worry about him.
Right, right. And then for Manny, what do you think on Manny? You've heard the White Sox so many different times. I mean, I don't think he's going to win much in Chicago, not in the first 3 or 4 years anyway. Do you think that's still a possibility? Or do you think another, you know, bigger market team gets involved?
Well, I do think all of these are possibilities. I just don't. The thing I don't know is what he waiting for? I mean, it's been so long that since he's been negotiating with these teams, like he's just waiting for a dollar figure that he really likes. But you'd think by now the White Sox or Phillies, you know, would have presented him with, you know, their final offer. So he must not like, obviously, what he's hearing from those teams. I think they have the money. I think certainly the Phillies have the money. I just don't know what the holdup is there. Philadelphia is close to, you know, you get three trips to Miami a year, and it's a part of the country he's used to. It's a team that looks like it's improving with some people he knows. You know, I just don't know what he's waiting for. If a team like the Phillies has the money and the desire to get him, maybe they're just not meeting his price. So crystal ball, I don't know. I like what the White Sox have tried to do surrounding him with his family and friends there. But it hasn't worked yet. So, you know, maybe you bet on mystery team in this case again. It's very, very weird this whole offseason.
It would be
not just for those guys, but a lot of guys.
It would be crazy if both of those big name guys, the two biggest names on the market, didn't sign until March.
Yeah. No, it's bad for the sport. It really is. Yeah. I kind of wrote about that this morning. Like, you know, we saw these proposals going back and forth. You know, the reports came out yesterday from the union and the league, and that's great that they're talking and they're trying to get creative about, well, maybe bringing the DH or the pitch. You know, I'm sure you've all talked about it. You know, pitchers can't face have to face at least three batters and roster expansion and all that, and that's great. But in talking to players, you know, the underpinning is all just competitiveness, and they are upset that there's so many teams that don't seem willing to spend and are just content to lose. The old tanking thing, and that really offends their sensibilities, and it brings down their bottom line, and it chokes up the free agent market. It's just not good for baseball. I don't think baseball had a great year last year as an industry. Attendance was down, more strikeouts than hits, more 95 loss teams than ever, and it's continued into this offseason, which began with promise, again, with the Nationals, with Corbin really stepping out and doing a deal that, you know, it was probably they overextended themselves, but they got the player they wanted, and it was a little bit more old school in that approach. And it's really slowed to a crawl.
Mm-hmm. All right.
All right, Tyler. Appreciate the time, man.
We'll keep an eye.
Yeah,
on.
I wish I could have brought that crystal ball for you guys, but, I just don't. I don't have it with me right now. Yeah, I don't have it with me right now.
No,
I
answers. Back
all right, man.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate
Thank
it,
you,
Tyler.
See ya. Bye.
Yeah.
Doesn't know any more than we do.
Nobody does.
Nobody knows. It's a state secret.
Only Boris and Bryce know.
If you had to bet, when would you bet Bryce signs? Put your money on it right
now. Would have lost.
We thought it was going to happen last week.
I would have lost all my bets, you know, the last
few
weeks.
We got a new bet, though. You got some new money.
What are we at, February 7th?
Some new money's coming.
Will he sign by Valentine's Day? A week.
I'm going to say no.
I'm going to say.
Probably not. I feel like this is going to stretch out.
I'm going to say March 1st.
When do we go to spring training? What's the
date? March 4th.
Will they be signed by the time we go to spring training?
I would bet yes, but who knows? Wouldn't that be crazy if we're sitting down with Rizzo doing an interview at spring training in West Palm and Bryce still isn't signed yet?
I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say he's signed by then.
I think so too, but.
By the Nats?
I don't think the Nats.
I don't think the Nats.
Probably not by the Nats.
I don't think they want
him. I'm guessing he'll be signed by the time we head south.
I don't think they want anything to do with this money.
If you want to chime in, it is open line Thursday. You can call us on the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Listener Lines at 800-636-1067. We're the Junkies. Coming right back.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.